you can all tell me after, but I think you're going to see a correlation between what I'm going to share and what Harry just shared. Why don't we pray? Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you that we can gather together and just have a time of fellowship, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us, the gift of your Son. Lord, I pray that this morning that you would speak to our hearts and that we could be challenged, we could be encouraged, we could be built up as we go, Heavenly Father, to be a light, to be a testimony, and grow closer to you more and more into the likeness of you by just your Spirit working in our lives, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Friday we talked about we've been looking at the book of John. We took a break from looking at John, and we just said, if you may have seen the email, but if there's a verse that kind of, something that really encourages you when you think about Jesus coming to earth and coming as a child, but obviously for so much more than that. And I shared this verse. I want to start with just sharing this again, and it's a very familiar verse when we think of Jesus coming. It says in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. You can turn there, but you'll probably know this one. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There'll be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. When I read this verse this week, and I was just meditating on the names, and they're so familiar, but when you actually think about them, I was just really encouraged, and I want to share, and I'm just going to start by sharing a little testimony with you about one of them. But it says his names will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal or Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so you think of, what does it look like? We went through this last night with my kids, and I was asking them, hey, what do you think of when you think of these different names? And when I think of Everlasting Father, you think of, what is a father? A father is somebody that, cares for the children, takes care of them, that they can go to when they need help. And so I just wanted to share something, again, a bit of a personal testimony and how God has been working in my life and how I see him working. But I think there's an amazing challenge in this. And so, Paul, you're going to be shocked, but I actually already have a title for this. Paul has to be very patient with me when we share titles, because our sermons get posted on YouTube, and I'm guessing I hold the last spot for. So I actually started with a title, Finding the Treasure Again. And it was probably about a year and a half ago, I was really wrestling with a question. And the question was very simple. So come back to what Harry shared. Would I be okay with other people getting all of the recognition, all of the glory, and me getting none? And I would say, if I'm honest, I really struggled with that question. And I came to the end where I was like, yes, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And so it was kind of like settled. Okay, I'd wrestled through that question, and then it kind of went to rest. And then over the last number of weeks, God has allowed me to be tested in that. And what came out of that testing was that I am not okay with other people receiving all of the recognition and me receiving none. That was what was, I wasn't necessarily seeing it until yesterday. And so yesterday I woke up. Many of you know that I get up early. I was up early, and I'm just having some time with the Lord, and I'm just wrestling with this question. And I wasn't framed exactly like that. I won't get into the exact details, but that's what it was ultimately coming down to. And that question would say, people say, and then the Lord said to me, and you're like, really? How'd the Lord say that to you? I always hear these things, people say that, and they're like, yeah. And you're, but sometimes you just, this question came into my mind, and I can say, then the Lord asked me this question because it was just so strong in my mind yesterday morning of, are you okay if you get no recognition? And I was just really wrestling with this, and boom, my phone rang, and it's 6:40 in the morning. And there it is. I look down on the couch, it's sitting beside me. It's my father-in-law. And so my father-in-law lives in Texas, Him and I talk probably, I was thinking about it this morning, how often do we talk on the phone? I'm going to guess we talk, besides just a basic question, answer thing, hey, we're done. We probably have one or two good talks on the phone a year. So he calls me and he says, hey, Mom says, or Dina says I should give you a call. You're on her heart. And I literally just started laughing. I was like, Dad, that's hilarious. I said, I'm just really wrestling with something. And so we talked, and it was so good, because it was something as I shared the details of why I was wrestling with this, he was like, you know, he just said, Tim, I can so relate to what you're going through. And as we talked, and as the more he shared with me the things that God had been speaking to his heart on the same type of subject, at the end of it, I've never had this. I can say genuinely, and so I like feel like it was just so real. I'm trying to think how many years ago. It was over 20 years ago that I gave my life to the Lord. And when you think of the verse that says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and for joy over it, one goes and sells all that he has or she has and buys that field, right, so that they can have the treasure. What do you think of? I think of, until yesterday morning, I think of the time when I met Jesus and I saw for the first time this need of a Savior and the opportunity to be saved. And yesterday morning, so distinctly, I remember saying at the end of this conversation to my father-in-law, I said, I can see a treasure. I can see a treasure hidden in a field right now. And I'll tell you, I lost it way more then than I did just right now. And he said, I'm going to leave you with the Father. And he hung up because I was a mess. But I've never in my over 20 years grappling with an issue, all of a sudden seeing that verse fresh and realized that treasure is not just when we come to the Lord. That treasure is available to us anytime there's something in our lives we're wrestling with. And Jesus is asking us something, saying, in my case, it's this question, right? I'm sharing this not as a, hey, this applies to you. Maybe it does. Maybe God is asking you that question. Are you okay if everybody else gets the glory and you get none? But maybe God's asking you something totally else. Maybe there's a different area in your life that God is asking you to surrender. Maybe there's an area in your life where you're like, you know what, if I'm honest, I am not free in that area. And so I just say to you, what if all of a sudden you got a glimpse of it? That man, to be free. And I got a glimpse of it yesterday morning when I thought, man, and I had been wrestling with it for 2 weeks. And I knew in my heart, every time I wrestled with it, I was getting nowhere. All that was coming back was, they're getting the recognition and I'm not. It was basically it. And it I wasn't gaining ground, but I could tell. I'm like, Lord, something has to change here, because there's no life here. And then all of a sudden, I got this glimpse that in Jesus Christ, I could be free. Free, free. So this is the thing. Finding the treasure again, I want to share some verses with you. And I'm using my example. I really hope, and I'm trusting the Lord this morning, that the examples I'm sharing are in this area. And maybe God will speak to you in this area. But what I want you to be challenged with is, I believe in my heart, this verse. I'm going to go to a different verse. Somebody already prayed this prayer. I think Jason did. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said this. Now, start with the Ephesians. To me, Ephesians 3, verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints. See, this is Jesus, this is Paul's journey. You've heard this many times, right? He would say, I'm the least of the apostles. And then as he walked further, he said, I'm the least of all the saints. And then he comes to a place where he could say, I'm chief of all sinners. So here he says, I am less than the least of all the saints. This grace was given that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That treasure hidden in the field, the depth of it, it's like an iceberg. You can see the top of it. But if you go and you start digging into that treasure box, you realize this thing has no end. You can search it out, and you realize that the riches that are available in Jesus Christ are unsearchable. And my Michael held up riches, right? But is it really money that's true riches? Greatest riches is to be free in Jesus Christ. The greatest riches is Jesus Christ himself. He has become to us wisdom and riches and everything. And I just saw yesterday again another area where Jesus Christ wants to set me free. Free from worrying about what anybody thinks. Free from needing any recognition from a person. Free. Free to worry only about what one person thinks, Jesus Christ. And when I got a vision of that, I just thought, man, to be free. To be free, where I serve one and one only. And what anybody else thinks doesn't matter. And I can tell you, after that call yesterday, I just had such a peace as my Father came and met me in a unique way. I share this eternal Father. I'll tell you right now, things like this, where someone calls me at a very perfect time, I could say in over 20 years, I just want to put you at ease. If you're sitting there going, that's never happened to me, I'm going to put that on like less than 5 times that's probably happened in over 20 years. So I'm not saying that this is my daily walk, that the Lord's just, boom, always ministering right into my need immediately at the moment. Like, that's not it. I don't want to make you walk away going, oh, that never happens. I wish God spoke to me that way. But he is an eternal Father. He cares deeply for each and every person in this room, more than we could ever know. We talked, I think Friday night I said this, you know, that it says in the Psalms, it says that his thoughts towards each and every person in this room, they outnumber the grains of sand. You cannot count them. That's how much he cares for each person. And so, yes, in a specific circumstance, he may reach out to you very specifically on something. But maybe in his infinite wisdom, there's times he doesn't. Maybe he's sitting here going this morning, man, that's what I need. I just need him to speak to me on this. We don't always have the wisdom that he has, obviously, right? And so he's going to minister and work in each situation perfectly. So I just want to put you at ease. But the second thing it says to the Corinthians, he said, now the Lord is the Spirit. This is in 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. He said, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It just struck me so strongly yesterday when I was thinking about this, and then as I've been thinking about it this morning too, that the riches in Christ are unsearchable. That the glory, we talk about this so often, but I realized, you know, there's this time in John chapter 8. Think of this. I'm going to challenge you to think about it maybe differently than you have before. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 33. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And when I read that verse this morning, it hit me differently than it has in the past. Because I always looked at this and thought, oh yeah, so these Jews, they professed to know Jesus, but they didn't understand, they didn't really know Jesus, and it was that. And all of a sudden, I could see myself in this verse now. If my heart attitude is one of, yeah, I have experienced the treasure. I saw 20 years ago, I saw my need of a Savior. And Jesus, he set me free, and he did. He set me free from sin. I was a slave of sin. And Jesus Christ, praise God, set me free. But if the hard attitude is, he set me free, and then someone comes and says to me, hey, Tim, do you know that that treasure, it's unsearchable? There's more there. Perhaps Jesus Christ has more he wants to do. And my heart is, no, 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 no. I am free. He already set me free, which is a true statement. He set me free. But what I realized yesterday was, as a reminder, Jesus Christ has more in my life that he wants to do. There's a deeper work of freedom in my life that he wants to do. Being free, in my case, it's being free from what anybody else thinks. And I just got a glimpse of that. And I realized, man, I am in danger of somehow thinking I've gone far enough. From glory to glory, we're there. You would never say it. You would never say it. But there is a, it's just for me, again, Lord, maybe I'll speak to one. And if that one is maybe to me, I hope not. But there is such a riches in Jesus Christ. I don't want to stop. I don't want to fall short of the things that Jesus Christ longs to do in my life. I shared this recently, and I had this thought. I said, it was our anniversary a few Sundays ago, and I talked about that song, Be Exalted in Our Lives, and how that is something that Whitney and I would talk about. We talked about it when we got married. Our desire was that God would be exalted in our lives. And I can think in my life, that's true. But if I am still, Jesus said this in John chapter 5, 41 to 44. He said, I do not receive glory from men. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I've come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you don't seek the glory that is from the one and only God? And I felt like God was speaking. He says, Tim, your longing is to be have me exalted in your life. But as long as you're focused on what other people think, or wanting some recognition from yourself, I'm going to be limited in what I can do. But if you come to the place where, Tim, you're willing to just, what people think don't matter. And I will never, just to be totally clear, this is a place where I can't get to, but by the grace of God. None of us can get there, but by the grace of God. But if we can come to a place of heart surrender and realize, like, Lord, it's take me to that place, whatever it takes, Lord. Take me to that place where what people think of me doesn't matter anymore. I can be free of that so that I can live truly for the glory of you and you only. And if somebody gives me acknowledgement for something I do, praise God. And if they despise me for something that I say, praise God. It's okay. It doesn't matter, good or bad. And I just, like I say, I had a vision of it. And I just, there's such a longing for it. But I realize as long as I'm still concerned about that, Jesus Christ is saying, like, he was saying to them, he says, you can't even believe if you're still wanting glory from men. But I know it's possible because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, he says, for though I am free of all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. Paul attained to this. And he said, a second time, he said in Galatians chapter 1, he said, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But we know that Paul was a bondservant of Christ. Paul was free by the grace of God, by the working of the Holy Spirit in his life. He'd come to a place where he was free, free of what anybody else thought. And you can see the wrestle. You can almost watch the journey of Peter as an opposite, right? Because in the context of Paul talking in Galatians about himself being free of all men, I think it's in the same chapter, at the end of chapter 1, where he talks about rebuking Peter because Peter ended up, he separated himself from the Gentiles and he was eating with the Jews, I think it was, because he was concerned, what? He was concerned about what the Jews would think of him. But later in life, I believe it is. I'm just going to fact check myself while I'm saying this. The introduction to 2 Peter, he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart, by the grace of God, Peter also found grace to overcome. And perhaps it was through our brother Paul challenging him on this and rebuking him on this, right? But this is available to me, to you. If there's something else in your life that you're wrestling with, a decision, something you're grappling with, he says in Romans chapter 6, this is the message of the cross, he says, now, if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. If you're wrestling with something, and I know, I'll just say I'm there with you. I know what it's like to wrestle with something because I've been wrestling. I didn't realize it. I guess I've been wrestling for over a year. And probably longer. But if you're wrestling with something, the ultimate question is, right, for all of us is, am I willing to die to this thing? Am I willing to let it go? And it takes faith, because it takes with faith that if we die with him, we will also be resurrected with him. That we will also partake of the riches that are in Christ. What are the riches that are in Christ? I can't, like in my, I just keep, the one that strikes me so much, and I ought to come back to it, but it's peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And it says, and of his government, what does it say? And there will be no end to the increase of what? His government and of peace. Can you imagine in your life that you can have a peace that passes all understanding, and that there is no end actually to how much that peace in your life can grow? You could sit here and say, I have peace, and I'm so thankful for it. And I can tell you, it could increase every day from now until Jesus comes or you go to be with Jesus. Like, I mean, it's incredible. Think of that, to have love, to be, for me, to be free from anything that anybody thinks. All these are true riches in Christ. This is true riches in Christ. This is why Jesus Christ came, was so that we could be free. He came to set captives free. And the revelation I have, it's obvious, but it's from glory to glory. It's, yes, I was set free. But I realize now, and I'm sure I've seen it, but I feel like it's gone maybe a little more from my head to my heart over the last couple days, is that he wants to continue to set me free. As he shows me new things, that there is a deeper freedom. And as we lay hold of a deeper freedom in Christ, we also lay hold of deeper riches in Christ. When I was thinking about this, then all of a sudden you come back to this super familiar passage in Philippians chapter 2, and you just see the heart of Jesus Christ. Paul said to them, I'm going to read this. I know we've read it so many times, but maybe if there's been something new this morning, something slightly fresh, you could look at it in a new light. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection, any compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another more important than yourselves. Now, if you have the NASB, which I typically read from the NASB, although I love to read and see what different ones say, the next line says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. But you'll notice the word merely is italicized, which means it's not in the original transcript. So let's read it without that. I don't know what your translation says, but I'm going to read it without that, because all of a sudden you go from where Tim was to where Tim wants to be. Do not merely look out. That kind of suggests you can look out for your interests, but you're going to look out for others. But if you take it out, it just says, do not look out for your interests, but also for the interests of others. You go from the place where you're concerned what others think, or that you are going to get some recognition, or that you're going to get taken care of, to, you know what, Lord, I leave all of that with you, because I serve you and you only now. And you're the only one that matters. I'm just going to focus on other people. Because if Jesus Christ was concerned about himself, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ, in laying aside his deity and coming as a man, he did it 100% for you and I. And there was nothing for, he wasn't doing this for some accolades or some recognition or some glory, even though it says God did highly exalt him and bestow on him the name above every name. Jesus didn't do it for that reason. And when Jesus was on earth, I was thinking of this passage. I didn't actually go read it, but let's read what it was like when Jesus was on earth. Isaiah 53. I believe it's this passage. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says, "For he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." He didn't get accolades on his time on earth. He didn't come for accolades. He didn't get accolades. And yet, at the same time, what does it say of Jesus Christ? He had more joy than all of his companions, because he walked in the riches of a relationship with the Father that no one ever knew. But he had a relationship with the Father. Like, you think at the end of it all, what was he concerned about? What was causing him to sweat drops of blood? I believe it was the idea of being separated from his Father, because he knew the value of that relationship. And when we think of this treasure hidden on a field, maybe this morning, if you walk away, you know, obviously it's the time people celebrate Christmas, and we think of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. We can celebrate that every day of the year, and I hope we do. Hopefully we do. But obviously it's not bad to reflect and think about this and meditate on it. Think about that treasure that we have in Jesus Christ, and I hope, like, do I see it? Do I see it? And I have seen it again. Like, Lord, I just feel like it's just changed for me, of a little bit less about, man, I want to reflect on what Jesus Christ has done. I do want to reflect on what Jesus Christ has done, but it's also like, Lord, what else do you want to do? And there's almost an excitement. Lord, all of a sudden, I realize you want to do more in my life. And if you do more in my life, I can experience more of the riches that are in Christ. There's a deeper freedom, man, a deeper love for people. You know, the thing is, I think about this, and I say in my life, I read recently in Ephesians, I think it is. Where does it say? It says that he challenges them. I think it's Ephesians chapter 4. He says, I challenge them that they would walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which they've been called. And so I was looking at this, and I was looking up all the different verses around the manner with which we've been called. And one of the verses, you'll remember, it says that you would proclaim the excellencies of him who is called you. And I would say that was the most challenging one. I'm like, Lord, I don't have a problem standing up and preaching. But if you put me in a situation outside of this environment and say, hey, Tim, how bold are you in sharing the excellencies to your coworkers or to other people of him who called you? I'd say, if I had to give myself a grade right now, it's not going to be a good grade. Like, and so I've been praying about it more. But all of a sudden it dawned on me, and I thought, man, if I can be free of what anybody else thinks of me, proclaiming the excellencies of him who has called me is going to take on a whole different light. One, because obviously I would, by the grace of God, have more boldness because I was less concerned about what people thought. But secondly, I just thought people will see something different in me. I know it. You can talk to somebody and they're free of, in that case, every thought or every concern about what anybody thinks of them. I just, in my heart, I'm like, man, I just know something will be different there. And you'll see it. You'll see it. And you'll know. And so, I come back to having this vision and say, there's a longing. There's a longing there. So what do I do with the longing? You know what? I can just tell you it's there. It's a longing. And I can't accomplish this except to just continue to look to Jesus Christ. My father-in-law shared with me something yesterday which I really liked. And he just said, sometimes if there's grime in something, he says, the only way to get it out is it's just got to be flushed out, right? It's just got to be flushed. I remember my car years ago. I had a car, and they were like, "Let's." You can tell how much I know about cars. I drove it for a behemoth amount of kilometers and never got the transmission fluid changed. And all of a sudden, the transmission's skipping, and they're like, "Well, this is going to be a $3,000 or $4,000 job." And they said, "We have one option: is we can hook a vacuum up to it, and we can fully suck out all the transmission fluid, and we'll flush in new transmission fluid." And that one, I can't remember, so it cost you $200. I said, let's give it a try. I'm willing to spend $200 in hopes of saving. And it worked. But they said, you know, if you just change the transmission fluid, Joel, please don't just openly correct me on the flaws in my mechanical knowledge right now. But if you just change the transmission fluid, a lot of the grime and stuff doesn't necessarily come out because it doesn't fully drain. But if you flush it, it comes out. And he just said to me, he said, Tim, just need the Spirit to flush it out. And I was like, Lord, it's true. I can't do it. But by the grace of God, Lord, you can change me. And that's the hope that we have. Again, I'm sharing a very specific example to me. I keep repeating this. I just trust that the Spirit can perhaps encourage you in an area maybe that you're wrestling with or something that's in your life. And you're sitting there going, yeah, I have been wrestling with this. And maybe the thought of, man, wow, to be free of whatever that is, to be free, that God could encourage you this morning that by his Spirit, he can do it. And imagine the riches of overcoming whatever that wrestle is and just having a deeper freedom in Christ Jesus from glory to glory, from glory to glory. And that when people can look at me by the grace of God, I hope you can challenge me on this and say, hey, Tim, in time to come, say, hey, how is it going? I love to be able to share the testimony and say, you know what? Jesus Christ has done a work. And I genuinely can say, do the thoughts come into my mind? Maybe they do, but by the grace of God, I can take them captive and I can be okay with other people getting all of the recognition. And I'm okay if I get none. And if Jesus Christ chooses to bestow some recognition, I can say, well, like Harry was saying, you can say, you know what? Any of these things, maybe God puts them in your life. And you say, well, you know, I have been successful, or I am a this, or I am a that. But I know. It's Jesus Christ, and it's the only reason. And I give him all the glory, and I hold it all with an open hand, that it's all his, right? I want to encourage you this morning, as we reflect, perhaps, on Jesus Christ coming. But just to challenge you, as I say, man, finding the opportunity is there. Let me say this. The opportunity is there to find afresh that treasure hidden in a field. If you're wrestling with something that, you know what, there's unsearchable riches in Jesus Christ. And those unsearchable riches, I believe, will often be tied to Jesus Christ doing a deeper work in our lives. Will it be painful? Probably. Right? It says, joy lasts. No, sorrow lasts for the night. Joy. It's the other way. Sorrow lasts for the night. Joy comes in the morning, right? If there's going to be a resurrection, resurrections must be preceded by death, right? And so, yes, to be his disciple, we need to daily be willing to take up our cross and follow him. But we do it, and we share, and we meet, and we do all these things so that we can be built up to say, praise God, I heard a testimony of how that brother or that sister has been wrestling with something but came to a place they're just willing to surrender to Jesus. Man, I can see the life. I just see that they're overcoming, and I'm encouraged, and I'm challenged because I want that. Maybe the wrestle is in a different area, but the opportunity to overcome in Jesus Christ and to experience freedom and life and a peace, an increase in the peace that it would have no end, is available to you. So I hope as you go through this week, you can be encouraged that Jesus Christ longs to do this for each of us ongoing, from glory to glory. Praise God. Ongoing. I'm encouraged. I have hope of what Jesus Christ can do in my life and what he can do in each of our lives, and that we can be built up and encouraged in him.